This speech of his aroused considerable excitement, and a noisy discussion broke out among all the members of the Club of the Adherents of Legomenism, with the outcome that then and there they unanimously decided to do as the great Akshar Pantsiar had suggested. A brief interval was then allowed for a meal, after which they all assembled again, and this second general meeting lasted throughout the night. They reached the unanimous decision to begin the following day making what are called minia images, or as the contemporary three-brain beings call them, models of various productions, and to try to devise the most suitable means of indication on the principles laid down by the great Akshar Pantsiar, and then to bring these minia images, or models of theirs, to the club, where they would be exhibited and explained to the other members. Within 2 days, many of them already began bringing the minia images they had made and showing them with the necessary explanations, while others began demonstrating every variety of those procedures which beings of that planet carried out on special occasions in the process of their ordinary existence, as they still do today. The models they brought included different combinations of colors, various forms of constructions and buildings, and the being manifestations they demonstrated included the playing of different musical instruments, the singing of every kind of melody, and also the exact representation of certain experiencings foreign to them, and so on and so forth. Shortly thereafter, for the sake of convenience, the members of the club divided themselves into a number of groups and devoted each seventh part of the period of time they called a week, or as they would say, each day, to the presentation and explanation of their productions relating to one particular branch of knowledge. Here it is interesting to note that this definite period of the flow of time known as a week has always been divided into 7 days, and this division was made by the beings of the continent of Atlantis, who expressed in it that same law of sevenfoldness with which they were quite familiar. On the continent of Atlantis, the days of the week were called as follows. Adash Sikra, Evos Sikra, Javorj Sikra, Mido Sikra, Maiko Sikra, Luko Sikra, Sunia Sikra. These names changed many times, and at present, the beings there named the days of the week thus: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well then, as I've just told you, they devoted each day of the week to productions in one or another special branch of knowledge, either works of their hands or some other form of consciously designed being manifestation. Thus Monday was devoted to the first group, and this day was called the day of religious and civil ceremonies. Tuesday was allotted to the second group and was called the day of architecture. Wednesday was called the day of painting. Thursday, the day of religious and popular dances. Friday, the day of sculpture. Saturday, the day of the mysteries, or as it was also called, the day of the theater. Sunday, the day of music and song. On Monday, that is the day of religious and civil ceremonies, the learned beings of the first group demonstrated various ceremonies in which the fragments of knowledge selected for transmission were indicated by means of inexactitudes in the law of sevenfoldness, chiefly through inexactitudes in the law conformable movements of the participants. Let us suppose, for instance, that the leader of the given ceremony, the priest, or, according to contemporaries, the minister, had to raise his arms toward heaven. This posture of his infallibly demanded, in accordance with the law of sevenfoldness, that his feet should be placed in a certain position. But these Babylonian learned beings intentionally placed the feet of the leader of the ceremony, not as they would normally be placed in accordance with this law, but otherwise. And in general, it was just in these otherwises that the learned beings of this group, by means of a conventional, what is called, alphabet, indicated in the postures of the participants in the given religious ceremony the ideas they intended to transmit to their remote descendants. On Tuesday, the day of architecture, the learned beings belonging to the second group brought various models for buildings and other constructions designed to last a very long time. And they planned these buildings not in exact accordance with the stability ensuing from the law of sevenfoldness, nor as the beings there were mechanically accustomed to do, but otherwise. For instance, according to all the data, the cupola of a certain construction had to rest on four columns of a certain thickness and definite strength. But they placed this cupola on only three columns, and they calculated the reciprocal thrust, or as it is also expressed, the reciprocal resistance for supporting the surplanetary weight ensuing from the law of sevenfoldness, not from the columns alone, but also from other unusual combinations ensuing from the same law of sevenfoldness, which was known to the mass of ordinary beings of that time. In other words, they calculated the required resistance of the columns chiefly by taking into account the force of the weight of the cupola itself. Or, to give another example, a certain cornerstone, according to all the data established there, both mechanically from the practice of centuries and thanks to the fully conscious calculations of certain beings with reason, ought infallibly to have a definite mass corresponding to a certain force of resistance. But, on the contrary, they cut and set this cornerstone in such a way that it did not correspond at all to the aforementioned data, and on the basis of the law of sevenfoldness, they calculated the mass and force of resistance required for the support of the superimposed weight from the setting of the lower stones, which in their turn they did not set according to the established custom, but according to the calculations from the manner of setting the still lower stones, and so on. And it was just by setting these stones in these unusual architectural combinations derived from the law of sevenfoldness that they indicated, also by means of a conventional alphabet, the content of some useful information. This group of learned members of the club of the adherents of legomenisms also indicated what they wished in their minia images or models of proposed construction by utilizing the law called De Vibratskar, that is, the law of the action of vibrations arising in the atmosphere of enclosed spaces. This law, no knowledge of which has reached contemporary beings of that planet, was then well known to the beings there, who were quite aware that the size and form of an enclosed space, and also the volume of air it contains, influence beings in a particular way. Utilizing this law, they indicated their various ideas as follows. Let us suppose that in keeping with the character and purpose of some building or other, and in accordance with the law of sevenfoldness and the practice established by centuries, its interior would necessarily evoke certain sensations in a definite lawful sequence. Then, by utilizing the law of Dive Britzkar, they designed the interior of this proposed building in such a way that the sensations would be evoked in the beings who entered, not in the anticipated lawful sequence, but in some other order. And it was just in these deviations from the lawful sequence of sensations that they inserted what they wished to transmit.